words come to mind. I don't know where it was from. I don't know where I heard it from. And I even tried to look it up on my Bing, and they didn't even know. That's a first. Of course, you guys all know where it comes from. The phrase is this: everything we need is in the house. Everything we need is in the house. So the closest I got, it was an African spiritual song and story a couple hundred years ago, but that's about the best I could. Let's say that together. Everything we need is in the house. One more time. I see some lips not moving. Everything we need is within the house. I got two short scriptures to share in the beginning and one at the end. And the first one is from Philippians chapter 4. You want to follow along, verse 19. And it reads like this: and my God — he has to be your God, he's my God. I think it has to be your God to have it to work out for you. That's my understanding. And my God will supply all your needs. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But guess what? I found out these last 2 weeks, it was true. There were so many needs to pull the camp off this year, more than usual, maybe more than ever. And he supplied all those needs. We're going to be talking about that as we get down through here. The other section of scripture, just a couple pages down the road, in Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read the first four verses, and they read like this: therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ — basically, you've given your life to Jesus — keep seeking the things above. Is that a problem for anybody here other than me some days? You keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. If you have died and have your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life — that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? But it should be true for all of us. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, there was a time, you probably remember the story, Moses chose 12 guys to send them out and spy out the land, the promised land that God wanted to give them, and he picked a guy from each tribe. You 12, go out there and scout out the land, and I want to know what you think. Is it a good land? Can we do this thing? How many come back with a bad report? 10. The only two that didn't have a bad report was Caleb and Joshua. They brought back a good report. You know what happened to Caleb and Joshua? They were the only two out of those 12 that got to enter the good land. So they were trusting in God. They had a good attitude. The rest of them died along the way. Now, what I want to do is, I have four points here. They're not really points, sections of this, my sermon. The first one is the next generation of leadership. And then number two is the help. Number three, God moments, and that could go on for a couple days if I had time to do it. And then fourthly, who gets the credit? The next generation. One of the things I walked away from during these 2 weeks is I know God has raised up the next generation to take over, take my spot. Matter of fact, Eddie, you said something at camp first or second week. You probably don't understand the significance of it, but Eddie came up to me one day. Maybe I was looking a little ragged, I don't know. But he said, Pastor Jess, I know you're not going to be lasting here forever. That's just the truth. And he said, don't worry about kids camp. We got this thing for you. What an attitude, huh? What an attitude to have. I think of Mike and Esther. I think of Chris and Carrie. I think of Drew and Amelie. I think of Chris and Stephanie, not from our church, but been part of our camp for many years. They go to Living Hope, Mike Molesky's son and daughter-in-law, and their three little daughters. I know you guys have it. You have my back. And you're going to be able to do a great job taking over for me when I buy the farm. We had 5 ex-counselors from kids camp show up these last 2 weeks just to fill in some blanks, fill in the gaps. Carrie's sister, Carrie, does Carrie have Sunday school or nursery? Oh, you're right back there. Your sister, Mary, she was an amazing help. And I told her several times, she had come here and worked at camp 30 years ago. Her initials are still etched in the cement down there, and I pointed them out. Mary, this is 30 years ago you put your initials there. And this year she decided to show up for camp, and she looked for things that needed done. I didn't even have to ask her to do it. She worked in the kitchen, but during her little break between the meals, she would go out and find something that needed spiffed up at camp. I had a chance to trim the little bushes out front, but I never made it to that Goliath bush down there. You know what I'm talking about, by the plaque. And I come walking by one day for a meal, and it was all trimmed and all cleaned up. I said, who did that? Mary. Mary, did you do that? Yeah. How come? Because it needed done, and I knew you were probably too busy. I mean, what an attitude, huh? That's the kind of people you want to have around you. They look for things that need done, and then they just do it. Tara, we didn't have a nurse the first week. And thank God we had a Zach who's a certified EMT, and he came, but no nurse. But Tara showed up the second week. She gave her life to Jesus at camp years ago. Zach showed up to fill in the gap on the first week, and he stuck around for the second. He was at camp. I can remember Zach when he was about this tall with green rubber boots that he wore every day. Rain or shine, hot or cold, that's what I remember about Zach. You probably know that was before your, Zach was before your time even. But anybody else remember Zach like that? And he showed up and he filled in and he did a terrific job, and I told him so. Noelle, I don't know where she became a Christian, but she grew up at camp. And then out of the blue, this guy come riding in on a Harley. I didn't know who he was at first. Kind of. So do I know you? Well, sure, Pastor Jess. I'm Tom. You used to call me Tommy. Or Thomas. Thomas of Aquinas, you always used to call me. And you have to probably be Catholic to understand the significance of that. But anyway, Tom showed up. And he gave both of his days off to work at camp. And all these ex-counselors coming to fill in the gaps that we had. You see, I only had one maintenance man, full-time maintenance man, for a week and a half. After that, I didn't have any full-time maintenance men. Thank God for Neil. He came whenever he could, and Tyler came some of the time too, but there were just so many gaps to fill in. And these guys came and filled in areas that I didn't know how we were going to make happen. The one maintenance man that I did have, Jerry, he's been here for 4 years now. Next time you're in the basement, you'll notice some changes down there. We have a huge new Sunday school room for the older kids. And we have some kids in this church, don't we? And here comes the joy on Joy's face. She has her own room to store all her craft stuff in. Yeah. And all we need is somebody to paint it, and she can move the shelves in. So it's getting very close. And Joy, I can even give you your own key. We can lock that. Yeah. So Jerry's wife is going through chemotherapy. She has been for several years. It's stage 4 cancer. They're both content and realizing that God has probably just taken her home very soon. And he took a week and a half to come up here and build some rooms for us. What a commitment that guy has. Lori. Lori went to work all day long, every day, for the 2 weeks. And then because she wasn't tired enough, she came over here and cooked for us every night. That's really a commitment. Thank you so much, Lori. Mary did too. Both of them just jumped right in there. And that made a huge difference in the cooking, because we were a little short in cookers this year. Eric is down helping Grandma teach Sunday school. Malachi down there today too? Where is he? There you are, Malachi. Well, we had 3 new guys from our church raised up to be counselors this year. Leo, Malachi, and is Ryan here today or not? He's downstairs. Those 3 guys, you guys were amazing. Amazing. I was thinking about you 3, and what would I say about these 3 young men, their first year counseling? Truthfully, they were some of our better counselors. And Leo, what came to my mind for you is, you just jumped all the way in the very first day. You didn't stand back and say, well, we'll see how this is going to work. Oh, you just jumped right in. That's the kind of guy I need by my side. And that's the kind of guy you are. That's your attitude. And don't ever stop doing that for God. Leo was and is Eddie's co-worker down at Delos. And I guess you guys got to know one another over the last year or whatever. And did he try talking you into coming to church? Yeah. Did he try talking you into coming to kids' camp? Yeah. Good job, Eddie. Yeah. Ryan. If you know Ryan, he usually sits up over here. And he's just normally a really quiet guy. He came alive at camp. Would that be fair? He came alive at camp. And he's just so full of God right now. It's just amazing. Malachi, you know what comes to mind for you? You're steady in the midst of a storm. I think anything could have been thrown at you, and you just look at it and deal with it, and you stay steady, and you move forward. And that's a rare quality, Malachi. And so we had these great guys that God's raising up in our church. And matter of fact, Tom Aquintas is hopefully going to come to church next week and be coming here too. So we have all these cooks that we didn't have before, all these counselors that we didn't have before. And how could we ever not thank Brenda Thomas for filling in, doing the nursing without a nurse? She's done this probably for 15 years. It's Kathy Steckel last year with Tara, and this year she keeps track of all these meds and hands them out several times a day to whatever. We had 120 kids here this last week, tweens, you know what a tween is, and a teen. And I said, Brenda, how many medicines, how many kids do you have that are in medicine that you have to make sure you give that medicine to them several times a day? I don't know. She counted 34 kids she was responsible for handing out medicine several times a day. What a responsibility, huh? What a help she was. Thursday and Friday, I had four 14-year-olds. This is their last year at camp. Four 14-year-olds come up to me and ask me this question. So what do I have to do to be a counselor next year? Is that encouraging or what, Micah? And one of them happened to be sitting back there with a hat, DJ. So I told DJ, well, it's not my call, it's Mike and Esther's, but I sure hope it works out for you. And you give them, the go ahead, this is what you need to do this year. And he's in church today. So that's very encouraging, getting all these young ones signing up. Where's Jojo? You know who one of those four were? Two of those four were. You know the one, Faith, their granddaughter. This last week, she was here. She's a 14-year-old. She's been chomping at the bit to be a counselor as long as she had a bit. But anyway, I seen her several times. I said, Faith, how many days? She said, I don't know. It's getting closer. I said, how many days? We counted. You only have 358 more days before you could be a counselor. Yeah! And then the week, how many days, Faith? I think it's down to 348. She's counting the days, and I am with her too. But you know what else? Faith brought her friend from, it's a relative, from Florida up here. Remember I announced it before? She was here, her dad was here, checking us out. This is the two things that come out of it so far. Number one, what's her name, the young lady that's 14-year-old down in Florida? Julian? Jordan, like the river. Okay. Jordan was one of them, said, I want to come back next year as a camper. What do I have to do? That's the kind of mindset really the kids that are leaving here are going to take with them. Where's Brandon? He's here. In the bathroom. Drew, go say, anybody in here by the name of Brandon? Bring him up here. Yeah, tell him to pull up his pants first. Anyway. Find him. Because this is the last week on a regular basis that Faith and Brandon are going to be here. They were counselors for years. And for some reason, they didn't feel like they could come this year since they're getting married next Saturday. And I had the honor of doing it. These two camp counselors are getting married next week. And then they're going to move to way up north in New York State for a while. But their parents and grandparents live here. Both of them. Is he in there? He's coming. Okay. And Brandon's parents, grandparents live here. So they're going to come to visit once in a while. Who knows what God's going to do with them after the schooling's finished. And isn't it just neat seeing all these young people growing up and becoming great citizens? We need to pray for you. That's why we wanted you here. I'm not going to go there. We could have sent a bunch of guys in to lay hands on you in there. But we wanted you two to be together. And any of you want to come and just gather around them and pray God's blessing upon them, on their future marriage this week, on their life up there. And are you going to miss them? I am too. But I know they're doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. And let's just lay hands on them and pray for God's blessing upon them as a new couple this Saturday. Go ahead, some of you lead out, and then I'll close.
Lord, I thank you for the way that Faith and Brandon have honored you in their relationship.
Amen.
And in their service here at our church. And we just thank you that they've been a part of our family. And I pray that you will find them a church home where they're going and find them a family to love on them.
Yes, God.
I thank you that they will continue to honor you and serve you in their marriage and in their new church home. And we do send them for you. We believe the many blessings that you poured out on them. We believe for their safety and for their protection and for their provision, Father. We pray that you will prepare their home for them to be there.
Yes, God.
God, we thank you for your perfection and things you set in motion, and even in this case, as you draw some people together, God, we are excited for their future because you don't set up from each project. You don't abandon things you start. You put things through to the end, Lord, and you put all your power behind it. So we pray a blessing on them.
Scott.
That their ears are to you, and they follow every step that you lay out for them.
Anybody ever call you a sneaky couple? Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. These have come to kids camp, and the rules of kids camp is no holding hands with the opposite sex, and. No walking back in the woods by yourself alone, all those things. I didn't even know they were serious until after camp last year. You guys were amazing. I don't know if I could have done that, but you were so honorable and setting that kind of example. Next time you come back to camp, you can go pan. So anyway, I am just so blessed and honored to have them as friends. And you are going to be such a blessing to whatever church you find up there. And because that's the kind of people you are. You'll be a blessing wherever you go. God, that's my prayer for them, that you would keep this couple safe and secure, close to you. Allow them to sense your direction in their life in any way. Anytime they take the time to say, what do you think, God? You're going to put the answer in both of their minds what to do, even if it means how to eat a hot dog the right way. but nobody else will know about that. We won't mention any more of that today, but they might find out later. Thank you. Thank you so much for being part of my life. Thank you for the honor to marry you. Thank you. The next one is the longest one, and it could be so, it could be twice as long if I had the time, but I labeled it God moments. There were so many of them this last couple of weeks. One that will stick in my mind, and I know I want to contact the parents of both of these kids. I do know the parents of one of them, but Josie has come several years now. All she has is about this much of a stub left. That's how she was born. And you would never know it. Matter of fact, last week, people come to me and say, what's this servant duty job after a meal? And every meal I get to give, okay, water those flowers, go kick those rocks off the parking lot or whatever. And their group came to me Thursday night, not this last Thursday, but two Thursday nights ago, the main week. And the counselor, head counselor, says, okay, what's our job? And I didn't even realize, or I wouldn't have said it. Why don't all your girls pick up some tables and chairs and throw them in the back of my truck to take them down for the s'mores and the camp songs and things like that? And so they all jumped in. They were doing it. And then I noticed Josie, she put her water bottle, held it here, and then she was grabbing these chairs, two or three of them, and she walked over and one arm threw them up in the truck. I think, wow. What an attitude to have. You know, she didn't allow that arm to have any bearing on what she could do. And it came across even with the other little boy that had some physical problems, Dylan. And I know his parents. And I plan on stopping by as soon as I can to just say how amazing it was to have Dylan at camp. And maybe some of you might be lucky enough to get Dylan next year. Eddie and Leo had him this year. Dylan can't stand up by himself. And to go anywhere, they pulled him in a little wagon, or they carried him. Brought tears to my eyes. Sometimes sitting in the back, watching all these kids worshiping God, and you guys taking turns just to hold them up there. So he could stand with the rest of the group to worship God. And he did. And one of the days Esther told me about this, she heard it firsthand, was secondhand with me. But all the kids were being dismissed to go for their team times. And one of the boys in Dylan's group was at the door. And he asked Dylan, so what's wrong with you? Why can't you stand? Why can't you walk? He just didn't know any better. You know, a little kid would throw that out there. And Josie came to his rescue. Josie came and said, there's nothing wrong with Dylan. He's the way God made him. He's the way God created him. And God's going to do great things in his life. What an attitude. What an attitude. I don't have to ask you if you guys were blessed to have him. Just say yes, even if you're lying. I know you're not lying. I could tell in your face. It was a joy to have him, wasn't it? It was a joy to help him. To me, that was a God moment, having them both here together. I'm going to find out Josie's age. She'd make a terrific counselor. I don't know if Dylan could do that, but we'll see, won't we? We'll see what God can do. Rich Malott was one of my two maintenance men that I lost this year. Rich has been up here probably close to 25 years doing maintenance for us. A huge blessing. Truthfully, the freezer and cooler unit that we have down there, we have to credit to him and his buddy that he brought along to help. They designed it, they built it, and it stores so much food for us. 2 days before kids camp, he had a major stroke. He was rushed to the hospital. He couldn't lift his arm. He couldn't stand on his leg. He was just paralyzed on his right side. He could talk with a slur, but I called down as soon as I found out. I knew there was a certain amount of time when you have a stroke to get to the hospital before it does more major damage. And I found out it's 30 minutes, what they give you. After that, blood clots could really mess with you and cause you problems down the road and maybe the rest of your life. He just happened to be stopping by a friend's house, and it happened, the stroke happened, when he walked into her apartment. And Rich said, I gotta drive to the hospital. And she said, over my dead body you're driving. You call an ambulance. I'm going to call him right now and get you there. He got there in 22 minutes. So he's really recovering really good. And again, a God thing. He just happened to be at a friend's when he had a stroke, and they rushed him to the hospital, and he's doing better. There was one young lady. I never did get her name. Some of you might know her. She was a fairly nice size teenager, 13, 14 or so, the second week. And when Thursday night came, I'm usually sitting back in that rocker, Paul. But if you come a Thursday night, I'll let you sit on my rocker. Okay, that's the deal. But I was sitting there, and I seen this their team come in, and her hand was going like this. And she would grab it and pull it to her chest and hold it there, and it would stop. But as soon as she let go, it would start shaking again. Now, I don't know if she always had that problem or just in the last several years. I just don't know. But all I know is Marcy said, I'm going to go up and pray for her. So she got up before the worship started and went up and talked to her for a minute and wrapped her arms around her and just prayed for her that God would bring healing, physical healing, to this shaking. And then she went back and sat down to me. And I know when it was time for an altar call up there, she was one of the ones that went up. I would say out of the 120, 106 or 7 probably went up to the altar and given their life to Jesus again, or for the very first time. And they were hooping and hollering about several things up there, Mike. We'll have to talk about hooping and hollering because I'm just curious. But I assume maybe one of the hooping and hollering was for that young lady, because they prayed for her, and last I heard when she left, no more shaking of the hand. That's just amazing. And I'm trusting that it never comes back. So there were several amazing healings that happened here. Some of you know Tyler, the maintenance man. Camper. He came last year. He worked with you quite a bit. Remember little Tyler? No, not Tyler. Alex. Alex. And he has a great attitude. Last 2 years, he wanted to be a maintenance man, but then a camper the second week. Well, that second week, when all of them were up there giving their lives to Jesus, guess who gave their life to Jesus amongst that group? Little Alex. And it's so encouraging. One of the big things, amazing things, where everything we need is in the house. There's food. Do you imagine 123 kids the second week, all the counselors, all the adult staff, and all the little munchkins that couldn't go to camp, they were at camp the first week, they were here. We were cooking for about 190 to 200 people a meal, three meals a day. And so you think your grocery bag bill is bad. I will trade you a split second for the grocery bill each week for kids' camp. I mean, you're feeding all these people, 190 people, and some of them were a lot bigger than me. They have to eat a lot to get up there. But I don't have to tell you what food prices cost right now. I mean, hamburger is over $5 a pound. I had to buy some tin foil because I couldn't find it anywhere. Esther couldn't find it. I finally found it. It was only 9¼ a roll. I picked it up and I showed the cashier that was checking out. Can you believe that? No. Why are you buying it? But I said, that's a good question. I mean, bologna. How much does bologna cost a year ago? Maybe $1.25, under $2. This year, bologna is over $5 a pound. I felt like saying, oh, bologna with you. But anyway, I needed it for the cooks. And so we have all this stuff coming in, all these expenses, and we ended camp in the black. Everything is paid for. Everything is paid for. All that food. You know, the biggest contributor, some people gave us extra money for food. We had two people give us $1,000 extra just to help out with food. One was to help out with food, and one was to help out with all those doors down there. Because the doors were in a pitiful shape. That's putting it lightly. All those cabins, 25 cabins. And I was thinking, I'm going to go to Lowe's, and I'm going to get 25 doors. And I hope it's not more than say, 700 or 800. I guess I hadn't looked at door prices as much as I look at hamburger prices. I went up to the front. You only have about 13 doors, and they're all different designs and stuff. What would it cost me to order 25 doors that match? They figured out. Well, we can have them here this week. Now, how much do they cost? Well, we'll even let you pick out the design. How much do they cost? We will have them in your truck for only $7,000. Drew, that's exactly what I look like when I listen to that lady. You've got to be kidding. Even if we had it. And I ended up getting every final door, 36-inch wide door in Lowe's and Home Depot. I just bought them all out. And there were only four different types. So the girls got the fancy ones. But anyway, everybody got a new door. And we only had to pay $2,800. But when I got them, I was sharing that story with a friend. Within a day, he come back and said, here, maybe this will help. He gave us a check for $1,000 off those doors. It's just everything you need is in the house. Only you know what? I have to trust him for that. And sometimes I still struggle. It goes for you too. Everything you need is in the house. It's there. It's God has it for you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Think about how much hamburger you'd get out of that. But so many times things just fill into place. I have an unsaved friend just down the road. I've been witnessing to him for about 2 years now. Some of you know him if I'd mentioned his name. He hasn't given in to Jesus yet, but he's given me $600+ for scholarships. This is, what do you call him, a heathen, you know? but they wanted to bless us. We've given over about $2,000 worth of scholarships to needy families this year, more than ever. But God's taken care of that. We, Amelie and Drew, they had some problems last year, not relationally. Their problem was their cabin down in the staff cabin area got flooded twice. There was like how much water? At least that much? She showed me a picture she took last year of the water come running out like a living water flowing out from underneath the cabin's floorboards. It was like a little stream. So we had to get those things taken care of for their cabin and for Chris and Stephanie's cabin. And, you know, it's kind of hard to find a construction crew to do things like that at a moment's notice in the summer when it's their busiest money-making time. This so happens, there's a construction crew right here in Jonestown that I've befriended for years now. I knew their grandpa. I told them stories about their grandpa. They didn't even know. And he was just a neat guy. It's the Yost boys up on the hill, Mike and Kevin. Mike was right next door to Mike and Esther. I said, Mike, just tell me if this is an undoable thing. I need somebody to make drainage ditches down there, dig them deep, fill them with gravel, put a pipe in, run them into a 55-gallon drum that you're going to bury out from the cabin. Can you do that in the next couple weeks? He just smiled and said, we'll see what we can do. They had it done before camp. No more flooding. I got the bill. I tried to guess. I know basically what construction workers charge and things like that, but they had five pieces of equipment, heavy equipment down there to make it work. A dump truck, a truck to haul the gravel, a backhoe and a little bulldozer and all these different things. So three guys all day long it took them, and I'm thinking, maybe $2,000. If it's $2,000 or below, I will be happy. Well, we got the bill. It was $2,100. Did we have that kind of money? Everything you need is within the house. And the relationship that I had with these guys, they pulled it off. They got it done. They give me a bill, and on the bill, $2,100 for labor, supplies, everything, $2,100. And then the bottom bill said, because we know you guys, and we know you give so much time to minister to kids, drop off $890 off the bill. Everything you need is in the house. You just have to trust, Jess, that I can take care of it. And I could go on and on and on and on. Our septic has been acting up the last 2 years. This year, I thought I would get ahead of the game, and we had it pumped out about 2 weeks before camp. And it lasted pretty good for the first week, and the second week, there were some problems we had to deal with. Not horrible problems, but you just don't need those problems at camp. And it probably has either pipes broken or just needs to extend the gravel drain field down there, but it couldn't happen at camp. Friday night, one of the guys came by and said, hey, I visited with your neighbor, Jim. You know him, Malachi. He hires you and Garrett, sometimes Estelle, to do work in the summer. Jim found out about a problem. And he said, you tell Mr. Jess, when he's ready and he has a game plan, I will come up here and do all the digging for you for free. That's thousands of dollars. Everything you need is in the house. I'm going to make this quick. But probably 40 some years ago, Marcy's brother, Scott, who is still in high school, he was in Boy Scouts when she and I lived out there for a year before we moved back to Jonestown. One of his good friends in Scouts committed suicide. And Scott, Marcy's younger brother, was devastated. And Scott sent him to me one day and said, you're a pastor, right? Yeah. Well, then, could you write a letter to this boy's mom and dad to encourage them how to find your God? I said, I'd be glad to do that. And so I wrote this letter, and basically it was line by line how to give your life to Jesus, the importance of doing that. And I give a letter to Scott, and then we moved back out here. I found out years later that Scott never gave the parents that letter. What he did, he took that letter and filed it away in his filing cabinet. Now he was grown up, married with kids, never gave that letter away that was written for. One night he was having a pretty rough night, emotionally, spiritually. So he went and dug in his filing cabinet and found that letter I gave him probably at least 25, 30 years later. You keep letters like that? Maybe you do. I don't. Some of them are hoarders and some of them are growers. I'm more of a thrower. But he got that letter out and he read it out loud to himself that night, sitting by a little lamp, and gave his life to Jesus. It wasn't even written for him. It was written for somebody else. He gave his life to Jesus. Now he's has kids and his wife and his daughter came to camp this year, the second week. She's a 13-year-old girl. And he just wanted them to experience what I've said happens at kids' camp. And Cindy said, you haven't told me half the good stuff that happens here. I want to close this last part out. And the last part, next to last part, we'll go quick. This is a letter that she wrote to me the day she was leaving. I asked her, Cindy, what are some of the highlights you had to take with you back to Washington State? Three things. Watching 120 plus kids on the first day of camp worshiping Jesus with all their heart and all their soul. I don't know about, I don't think we ever had that much of a response on day one. Never. Had to be God. Number two, kids reaching out to other kids who needed encouragement or just a hug. That's what she is taking home with her, the love that was here from all these campers. And number three, being blessed to see my daughter touched by the word of God on Thursday night and being prayed over and held by her fellow counselors and camp friends. And when her name's Jen, and I was sitting back there where Paul was and just praying for the different people. And when Jen came back, her mom was sitting next to me. She was just weeping, because of what God did in her life up there. And she was not the only one. There was quite a few teenage boys and girls just weeping because of the goodness of God that he shared with them in such a powerful way. Jen will never be the same the rest of her life. Harry's mom and dad were so impressed being here the first week for several days. They said, "We can't believe the love that's here and what's being accomplished with all these kids." They even missed week two. But they said, "What can we do for you?" I said, "Well, you don't have to do anything. You'd be praying for the second week." No. Harry said, "You go buy pizza for all the staff when all the campers go home." "Yeah, we do. You send us the bills. We're going to flip the bill for all that pizza." They had no idea what they were committing themselves to. We bought 37 pizzas, total of over $250. Everybody had their fill. And what they didn't eat, the campers finished for lunch the next day, right? I'm assuming that's what you did with it. Maybe it was breakfast. But the Steckles that used to be here, they felt bad that they couldn't come back from Florida. They sent a chicken chuck. They always bought 100 pieces of chicken for all the counselors to have a snack after all the campers leave Friday night. And they bought 100 pieces of chicken both Friday nights. They flipped the bill for that. So it's just like all these things. If I had one person that the Steckles aren't here, are we going to get chicken? They didn't care whether Steve and Kathy are. They just wanted the chicken. I don't know. But I said, "I don't know. You pray about it, and maybe God will provide chicken." We just don't have money like that to throw at like pizza. $200 for pizza, $250 for pizza, $200 for the chicken. And God provided everything we need. Is in the house. You know what I mean? But it's not that this house has everything. It's God's house that has everything. It's God that has everything. But when you're living for God, you're living in a house, and everything you need is in the house. Now I'm going to close. It's so hard to cut it off. Who gets the credit for these 220 kids being brought closer to God over these last 2 weeks? Who gets the credit? Now, I know you would say God that gets the credit, and that's true. But who gets the credit? All of you guys, too, that help. Whether you're buying chicken or praying for us at home or carrying little Dylan around on your shoulders or in the wagon, whatever you did. Lori, you get the credit because you cooked for all those kids. And Marty, you get some credit because you didn't have any cooking from Lori for 2 weeks. You know, the sacrifice. God wants you to know that every one of you get the credit. God, obviously, but you have to admit it, that this happened because of you guys wanting to come together and making it happen. Everything we need is in the house. I'm going to close with this verse from the book of John. It's the last verse. The book of John is probably my favorite book in the Bible. But the very last verse, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that were written in them." I just scratched the surface today, but that's the kind of God we have. Everything you need, you honor God with your life, and you can't out-honor God. You honor God and God will honor you. That's his promise to us. So Eddie, you and Leo and Micah, will you come up and close us in prayer?
Dear God, I thank you for wonderful opportunities. I thank you that you give us time, you give us this camp, you give us those around us to share your glory. I thank you that we had such wonderful counselors, but even better campers, God. I thank you. You let this year go by smoother than ever.
Dear God, this is my first year, and it was quite an experience, and I thank you for allowing me to have it and share it with all these lovely people, the campers, the counselors, the staff. It was truly something different. Thursday night was very special. Right, the first Sunday night was also incredibly special to me, and I will remember it. And what I learned here, I will keep with me for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for these 2 weeks you've given us, Lord, and even the weeks leading up to camp. But Lord, we look forward even more to what you're going to do as these campers go back home. Counselors go back home to their homes, to their workplaces, their schools, their families, and to their friends, Lord Jesus, that they'd remember what they've grabbed onto these past 2 weeks, Lord, and take it and run with it, Lord. Lord, that we would never forget that, Lord, you have everything we need. Everything we need is in the house, Lord, and you are the reason this camp is here. You are the reason we are here, Lord. And that we'd continue to look at you and follow your direction. In your name, Jesus, amen.